Carrying King Joseph, Part 1. We continue reading the story of Joseph. He is now under king of the powerful country of Egypt, and there is now famine in all the countries around that part of the world. We start in Genesis 42. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another? I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, so that we may live and not die." Then Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin, because he said, "Some calamity might happen to him." And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, because the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was under king over Egypt, under Pharaoh, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. And he said, "Where do you come from?" And they answered, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Joseph's brothers did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. And he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the weakness of the land." And they said to him, "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." But he said to them, "No, you have come to see the weakness of the land." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." But Joseph said to them, "It's as I spoke to you. You are spies. In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, so that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. And then Joseph said to them on the third day, "Do this and live, because I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to the prison here. But you go and carry grain for the famine of your family. And bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words will be verified, and you shall not die." Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us now." Then Reuben said, "Did I not tell you, do not sin against the boy? But you would not listen. Therefore, see, his blood is now required of us." But they did not know that Joseph understood them, because he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away from them and wept. Later he returned to them again and talked with them. Joseph took Simeon from them and chained him before their eyes. Then Joseph gave a command to fill the sacks with grain, restore every man's money to his sack, and to give him provisions for the journey. And so they did for them. Questions to discuss. Reuben rather stayed close to his brothers than obey God's will when the man sold Joseph as a slave, and also he lied then to his father. Do we notice Reuben's weakness? Do you think that Joseph is still bitter toward his brothers now because of what they did to him then? Or is Joseph testing his brothers to see if they have changed, to see if they are now safe for him? Wouldn't that be prudent to do, even if you are not angry anymore? Brothers are still tormented about what they did to their brother, and that's now 13 years ago. They see what happens here as punishment for their evil against their brother Joseph. Does not sin torment us until we have confessed it and are forgiven? Do past sins not keep us imprisoned until we are forgiven? Would it be enough if Joseph forgave his brothers, or is it important that God forgives them? How can we be forgiven? Let us continue reading Genesis from chapter 42, verse 26. So they loaded their donkeys with the grain and left. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey some feed when they were camping, he saw his money. And there it was in the mouth of the sack. So he said to his brothers, "My money has been restored, and here it is in my sack." Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, and said to one another, "What is this that God has done to us?" Then they went to Jacob their father in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them. And as they emptied their sacks of grain, surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Jacob said to them, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin? All these things are against me." Then Reuben spoke to his father, "Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring Benjamin back to you." But Jacob said, "My son shall not go down with you, because his brother is dead, and he is left alone of Rachel. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you will bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave." Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass that when they had eaten up all the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food." But Judah spoke to him, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you."' And Israel said, Why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell that man whether you had still any brothers? But they said, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to his words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down here? Then Judas said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, so that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also all our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. Because if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned already this second time. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for that man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. And take your brother also and go. And may God Almighty give you mercy before this man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. I just notice in this story that it seems that Jacob is actually suspicious that they are guilty that he lost his son Joseph. You can find that back in the text. It looks very suspicious. Questions to discuss. I noticed that Reuben offers his sons as sacrifice to his father if they do not bring Benjamin back. Is that right? Why doesn't he offer himself? Does Judah offer his sons as sacrifice or himself? Has Judah changed since he sold Joseph? Can you think of any causes why these brothers may have changed? We continue in Genesis 43, verse 15. The man took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand, and arose and went down to Egypt and stood there before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take this man to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, because these men will dine with me at noontime. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and he brought Joseph's brothers to his house. Now the brothers were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, it's because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us, to take us as slaves with our donkeys. They drew near to the steward of Joseph's house and talked with him. Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened that when we came to the encampment, that we opened our sacks, and we found that each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back in our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands as well to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. But the steward said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God
and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them, and he brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet. The steward also gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, because they heard that they would eat bread there with him. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present and bowed down before him to the earth. And then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And then they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. And he said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother, and so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out again, and he restrained himself. "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians do not eat food with Hebrews, because that is an abomination to them. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him. Benjamin's serving was 5 times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack again. Also, put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest one, and his grain money also." And so he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. And when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow these men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this silver cup the one from which my lord drinks, and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in doing so.' So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, 'Why does my lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servant should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your lord's house? With whomsoever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my lord's slaves.' Then the steward said, 'Now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless.' Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. And so the steward searched. He began with the oldest and left off with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I certainly practice divination?" Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." Then Judah came near to him and said, "Oh, my lord, please let your servant speak a word in my lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, because you are even like Pharaoh. My lord asked his servants, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we told my lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him.' And then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me, so that I may set my eyes upon him.' And we said to my lord, 'The lad cannot leave his father, because if he should leave his father would die.' But you said to your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face anymore.' So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my lord. Their father said, 'Go back and buy us a little food.' But we said, 'We cannot go if our youngest brother is not with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' And then your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me 2 sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, "Surely he is torn to pieces," and I have not seen him any more since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. Because your servant became surety for the lad to my father. And I said, 'If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please, let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord. And let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? Lest perhaps I see the evil that would have come upon my father.'" Then Joseph could not restrain himself any more before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from here." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph is a very changed man since the time when his brothers sold him as a slave. He had always longed for their acceptance and never received it. he only had gotten their hate. And now he still longs for them to accept him. He longs for their love. Also Judah is a changed man since that time 13 years ago. He now even offers to lay down his life for the rest of the family, lay it down for his father, and that makes me cry. Questions to discuss. Is Joseph still angry with his brothers? Has he forgiven them? And why? Do you believe that Joseph now can trust them? And why do you believe so? Can you talk about how this lifestyle of Joseph is different from that of your own culture? Would you like to change the way you think and feel about what God's love is like? Ask Father God to reveal to you how overwhelmingly big His love is toward you. And I pray, Father God, reveal to these people a much, much greater measure of understanding of how awesomely great your love is toward each of your children. End of the lesson.